In thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I believe in miracles. I don't believe that I have ever caused a miracle to happen, though. Our gospel from Mark this morning, as it has been for the last few Sundays, is about miracles. Today, miracles that occurred in two different ways. One seems rather passive and the other one quite active. Regardless of how the miracles happened, these stories are about faith. We hear about the woman who has been suffering from a hemorrhage for 12 years. She apparently has been to doctor after doctor, and no one has helped her. Ever had that happen to you? Scans, tests, examinations, consultants, etc., etc. Certainly happened to me during my years of practice that we just couldn't figure it out. Unfortunately, all of that cost a lot of money. Insurance will throw you away, and still no one has helped you. And no one has helped her. As we hear in verse 26, she has endured much under many physicians and has spent all that she has, and she is no better, but rather she has grown worse. She is desperate, at her wit's end, and ready to do anything to get the relief she needs. Then we have Jairus, the leader of the synagogue, who comes to Jesus because his daughter is quite ill, to the point of death. Jairus is consumed with grief and dread, and he's coming to Jesus for help. He has heard about him. And while he is waiting for Jesus to conclude his encounter with the sick woman, some people come from Jairus' house to tell him this: Jairus, it's too late. Your daughter is dead. Give it up. Why trouble the good teacher any further? We can hear them saying, come on, all hope is gone. All hope is lost. Come on home and make peace with what is real. It's time to prepare a funeral. So often all of this has been replayed in all of our lives. This is a very sad drama with the agony of these two situations. But we got to be careful that we do not let that, the drama, interfere with what's going on, to see what's going on here. The nameless woman with the hemorrhage and Jairus with his dead daughter somehow have faith. It's hard to imagine the anxiety and humiliation of the woman for 12 years. Of course, first of all, she's a woman in a patriarchal environment and society, and she also has a hemorrhage. Now, this is not good because that makes you unclean, outcast for 12 years. But she sees and hears about Jesus. This is a story of faith. It's her faith that gives her courage to walk through the crowd, trying not to be noticed, thrown away, thrown out. She doesn't want to speak to Jesus. She doesn't have a request. All she wants to do is touch the hem of his garment. Faith is at work here, and when that actually happens, when she brushes up against him, Jesus feels suddenly, like an electric shock, the power go out of him. When he realizes what has happened, he says, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. The story is about faith. Before Jairus has much of a chance to respond to the bearers of bad news who tell him that his daughter is dead, Jesus intervenes. Jesus speaks to Jairus with quiet, comforting but firm words. He says this: do not fear, only believe. I can see Jairus at that moment, downtrodden, just about to fall down. And Jesus says those words, "Do not fear, only believe." He's feeling, getting all puffed up, seeing a new energy coming into him, a deep breath. He has faith. And he and Jesus and a few disciples go to his house. Now, when we are in similar situations, as we all have been in something along these lines, we get ourselves into trouble when the outcome is not what we wanted for or prayed for. Have to be careful about that part. We say to ourselves many times, and I've heard others say it, "If I only had more faith, then," and you can fill in the blanks. If I only had more faith. I don't believe faith can be quantified, measure it in ounces like a pound of potatoes or 10 pounds of potatoes. Faith is just that, faith. And even just a teeny weeny bit of it, according to Jesus, the faith of a mustard seed. Mountains can be moved. What this story is telling us, and what Scripture is always telling us, it is proclaiming to us something about God in these stories. These stories are not just a report or a narrative, not about healing and about a resurrection. They are a proclamation. The miracles that happen in these stories are proclaiming something true about God. And Mark is using this story to proclaim that Jesus of Nazareth is the anointed one of God. Wherever Jesus is in Scripture, the story is proclamation. The transcendent power of God is what we're hearing about in the middle of our everyday, ordinary lives and circumstances. The nameless woman is not particularly responsible for her illness. And her faith is not really what causes God to act. And the man is not responsible for the illness of his daughter, nor the death of his daughter. Faith is not what causes God to act. Listen to what Jesus said. Explain to Jairus what faith will do. Do not fear, only believe. Faith makes fear evaporate. It calms our fear. If you trust God to be God, your faith will be there and your fear will leave you. That's what faith is about, trusting God to be God. It gives us courage. Trust gives us courage and calming. And it permits us, actually enables us to carry through outrageous acts such as this woman did, going through a throng of people merely to touch Jesus' clothing. She took a big chance. Now, what has happened here? I think we discover as we go along and learn that when a miracle happens, God is the active agent of the miracle, not humankind. We don't have the power as human beings, no matter how strong our faith may be, to force God's hand, which we'd like to do. We would like for God to answer our request. If we had such power, we could make God do what we want, and we'd be in charge of the world instead of God. If that's not a scary thought, I don't know who it is. Someone once asked the noted preacher and biblical scholar Thor Hall, he said, "Dr. Hall, do you believe in prayer?" His answer was, "No, I don't believe in prayer." Stunned, the people sat back and said, "I believe in God, so I pray." That answer suggests that we need to make the same kind of adjustment, or at least I do, in the ways we talk about faith and miracles. Dr. Hall said that miracles are not our work and not our faith's work. Miracles are God's work. Believing in miracles is not believing that faith can become a power in us to manipulate God. Instead, believing in miracles is having faith in God, who we believe, who we know, is working in the world for our good, and he is the one who makes miracles happen. Well, we're all big boys and girls. We know that we have seen enough of the world, and we know that our experience tells us that even though we believe in the power of God, we cannot always expect healing to come exactly the way we want it to come, either for ourselves or for those we love. Our experience tells us that when we stand, torn by grief, next to the body of someone we love very much who has died, we cannot expect the resuscitation of that person so that she or he will live again and be among us. The message of this story this morning, all the stories of Jesus, is not meant to teach us falsely or to give us unwarranted expectations. It's to teach us the reality of God. Jesus Christ declares the power of God. The power of God we know in Christ Jesus himself is being proclaimed here and all throughout Scripture. Even now, God is moving in the world in the person of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. Jesus' words to Jairus that day, "Do not fear, only believe," come to you and me and assure us this very moment that we need not be afraid. Drop fear, let it go. And instead of fear, we then have courage to approach God and make our request. And when we do that, we're simply trusting God to be God. And we trust that the listening and loving God hears us and works in us those good things that are beyond what we desire or pray for. Our faith does not cause God to do what God does, but our faith trusts God to be God and thereby takes away our fear. Amen.
Standing, let us reaffirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. In peace we pray to you, Lord God. In your daily life and work. For this community, the nation, and the world. For Joe, our president. For Brian and Henry, our governors. For the leadership of the CSRA.
We're all working for justice, freedom, and peace.
For the just and proper use of your creation. For all who are in danger,